Hi, everybody. This is Scott Stimson and the San Carlos Computer Club. You can find recordings like the following at sccclub.org, and you can find help to any of your computer needs from me, Scott, at internationalcs.net. What follows is the recording from this morning's meeting, the San Carlos Computer Club, May 2nd, 2020. Enjoy. I just hit the streaming button, so we are live, though I haven't announced us. I wish I could get more people in this mosaic.
Maybe if you make us smaller.
I can't seem to do it.
Oh, there's somebody in the middle now.
Yeah, I can move people around, and I can drop them into spots. This is...
Phyllis! The empty chair.
I'm gonna put Phyllis in the empty chair.
Is that Irving?
Okay.
It says,
there's Phyllis.
Do you have on your microphone? No, it says Phyllis is recording the call.
I know. Okay. No, I have stopped recording on my computer.
Well, mine says Phyllis is recording the call. I really don't, I mean, the recording the call doesn't bother me. I mean, it doesn't affect anything I'm doing. So if anybody wants to or not, I'm doing a mass recording of this call. So if you're interested in a copy of it, that's not hard to get. What is kind of neat though is that when you do screenshots or recordings, now Jim is calling me. What is this? Merge, answer this call, place some current call on hold, or you can merge. Answer call with what? This must be the merge. Merge call. Jim, are you there?
No.
There's always something new happening.
Who's JC? Oh, John Cunningham.
Jim.
Jim.
Joined.
Jim is with us.
I can hear you guys. I can't see anybody.
Oh, it might take a moment. I'm not seeing you either.
No, I think it's the way he joined.
Says his microphone's off, JC.
Yeah, you look, you are muted, but you are here.
I was hoping it was USPS. Good morning, Bill. Do I see Bill? No.
Oh yeah, where'd Bill go?
I've got Bill. So, I think we can, who all we got here?
Oh good, it's getting bigger all the time.
Yeah, we got Bill, Fred, Judy, Jim, Judy, Linda, and Irving. And Phyllis. And me, of course. I think we could get started.
Okay.
I am Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, blah, 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 blah. And this is the San Carlos Computer Club. And I need to start again because I forgot to hit the recording button. So... I might try that again. This is Scott Stimson with the International Computer Solutions, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club meeting in our regular virtual meeting from undisclosed locations across the United States. We have come together this Saturday at 9, like every Saturday at 9 since we've been forced to stay in our houses. This is our 8th meeting in this format. So I think we've come a long ways in 8 meetings. This all feels like it's working today. How are you guys doing?
Great. Great.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, there.
Did I disappear?
No.
Okay. Right now I'm on screen sharing. I'm going to turn it off. Stop sharing.
I keep trying. Do things with the screen, and it's your screen.
And it's, yeah, that's right. It's a little confusing when it's my screen. I just turned off screen sharing.
But now you aren't full screen anymore. And
so we were just talking, and one of the topics that I was going to bring was how to control speaker and grid view. And I found the instructions for it. And there is very little control over it. And right now I'm trying to open up my instructions because I did have them just in front of me. There we go.
So I still see, I don't. Now I see Bill on a little half of a circle on half of your screen. You're at the top, and then Fred's at the bottom is just a circle.
That's really interesting because he's on full screen for me and I have little circles at the top.
Well,
I'm just on a laptop.
Maybe it's me.
I think it is because you really only have two views to choose from, and that is the grid view or the speaker's view. And we have not had a good experience, or at least I haven't had a good experience with the speaker's view yet. Ooh, somebody's gotten on with... There's some real feedback coming through. If somebody could mute you, I'm going to just mute everybody's microphone if I can. Somebody's mic was sounding horrible. Irving's mic is still on without a problem. Okay.
Mine's on now.
Okay, no problem.
Mine's on.
Okay. I muted mine.
Fred's is off. Fred, okay. Turn your microphone on.
Let's just see if that's... Bill, turn your microphone off. Bill. Okay, Bill, it is your... Bill, it's your system over there that's making so much noise. Hello. I heard somebody say hi, Scott. Oh, Mom's on. Hi, Mom.
Hi. I can't show my face today. I just woke up. I really did. Oh, wow.
Well, it's nice of you to join us.
Well, Dad's here, too.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Pop. Glad you guys could join us. We were just talking about the Skype mosaic window that I've been using. And we were looking for how to control the grid or the speaker view. And I was saying that the speaker view under Skype isn't really working for me. If you've set yours to speaker view right now, you should be looking at me full screen because I'm the one talking. Yeah. If somebody else begins to talk, they should come full screen.
I don't seem to have that option on my iPad.
You may not. I'm not working from an iPad. Is there anyone else out there working from an iPad? Maybe raise your hand or. Fred, you're working from an iPad? So do you have the option to go from grid to speaker view? Yeah. On the computer, we find it to the left of the bubbles at the top, but Fred's shaking his head no.
Okay.
Like he doesn't have that kind of option. So you may not.
No, you, I have it.
There's a number of options in the desktop version that aren't included in the mobile version. Like I've got my computers in the back here are actually a background photo. I know it's hard to tell. It looks like my office. That background photo is available under the desktop version of Skype. I cannot do that on the mobile version. Can't do that on the web browser version. And I can't do it on the 64-bit Windows 10 app version, which is crazy because after last week's experience, I started looking around and I can have three different versions of Skype running all at the same time on my computer. Three different versions. I can't have three of the same version running, but I can run the traditional desktop version, which is a 32-bit app. just like you've known Skype for the last 10 years, just the latest version. I can run the new Windows 10 Tile version, which is the 64-bit version that you download from the Windows Store. I can also run the version that comes in the web browser. So if you go to web.skype.com, you can sign into a Skype version there. So those are three, and as I'm saying three, I'm remembering there's a fourth, which is a whole different world because it's Skype for Business. And Skype for Business was intended to be a business-based Skype while Microsoft put together their own version of a collaborative tool, and that is becoming Teams. So you might have been hearing Teams recently, because Microsoft has this very extensive platform for collaborative work, where you can share apps and whiteboards, you can watch videos together, and you teleconference like we are now. All of that's under a system called Teams, and up until now, it was a paid software that you got as part of Office 365. Now, because of all the Zoom, all the Skype, all the Hangouts and Meets, Talk, Microsoft has opened Teams for anyone to use. You'd think maybe I would suggest it. Let's try it. I've tried it. I've spent the last 2 weeks trying to use Teams. I am not going to subject the computer club to having to learn an entire new package because there is nothing intuitive about Teams. You can just put Teams out of your mind after this conversation. It is not for us to use. It is something that a corporation mandates their employees to use. And we will not be using Teams for the computer club. We will continue to use Skype for a while unless we find a better alternative. And that's what prompted me to go out looking for help on controlling this grid.
I like your background.
The grid has very few controls. And Skype only provides a page on how do I switch views in a Skype video call. And so I've got that link, and I'm going to stick that in the chat. I'll put it on, of course, like every week, I'll put it on our website so it's available. It shows a picture of the icons you should be finding to make these changes. I'm trying to creatively talk and chat at the same time. Oh, those are cool pictures. Who put those out there? So in the chat right now, there's a link to that Skype page. So it talks about the grid button and the view button and what they look like, but it doesn't give you any real instructions in a traditional Skype way. You're on your own to figure it out yourself. What I discovered this morning is that if you're in grid view and you're looking at the circles above, you can grab any of those circles and drag them down to your grid and put them in the mosaic. I see Jim's on video right now. Let me see I'm going to grab Jim and put him in my mosaic and see if that works without a problem.
And I will try Cheryl.
I can't see anybody now.
Oh, another thing that I'm noticing is that you can't grab a person to put in the mosaic unless they have come full along those circles. You can only have so many circles, and then there's one circle that says plus and a number. That's how many other people are in the conversation. If you're in the plus, or if you're trying to bring somebody from the plus onto your grid, you're going to have to wait until they say something so that they are an individual circle. It's only the individual circles that can be moved.
Okay, I'm going to talk now.
So,
and can you move me?
Yep. And I'm going to share my screen.
My screen. Judy.
What?
You're on my screen. You're next to Scott.
Every one of us gets to choose who's in our circles, but they have to be chosen. I've shared my screen so that you guys can see. I can only pick from these two circles up here, my mom or Cheryl. Everyone else is in this more people. If I click on more people, I can't get access to those circles because they're here. I can't drag them out of this list. I can only close this list. So I can move mom. She doesn't have a picture showing, so there's an audio. You can also pull people off of this grid. If you click on an image, I'm clicking on Jim. You see he's moving around right now.
Whoa.
Yep.
And I'm gonna move him up to the top bar. And now he's gone from my mosaic.
I had the mosaic for a minute, but now it's gone.
I'm gonna bring Judy back in. And bring Jim back in. But I'm not able to choose from these other four. And if there's an instruction on how to do it, I haven't found it. I'm trying to grab Irving right now. Irving, say something real quick.
Okay.
Okay, Irving just came forward on my screen. Oh, can you keep talking?
I'll try. 4 score and 7 years ago.
Our fathers brought forth the nation. Okay. On this continent.
All right, Jim, you're screwing me up, man.
So you got me.
Yeah,
got me midstream. There we go.
There you go. So when Irving started to talk, he came to the top of my screen. And now I'm able to grab him and stick him in one of these windows.
That's kind of funny. That's great.
Totally learned that this morning working with you people because the internet is at a loss for information on this stuff. Well, I'll put that link on the website. I'm not sure if it's actually a helpful link or not, but it's a good place to get started looking at some of this stuff.
No.
Let me get my other list.
What?
Before I get any farther, did anybody come to club with their own topics for today?
I have a question.
Go for it, Irving.
Well, the new standard is going to be tracking of separation and possibly of temperature, and that's going to be all new software, I guess.
You're talking about for this coronavirus stuff, what it's prompting us to do?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually think if you watch the movie Contagion, that's where we're at. Is by the end of that movie, people had bracelets of different colors that indicated they'd either had the vaccine or had the antibodies and were not infectious. Which, if anybody's following the news, Maggie just sent me. She's having trouble getting into Skype right now. If anybody has been following the news, antibodies, the experts are really careful to say that antibodies are not an indicator that you can have protection. That this is too new, that they cannot guarantee that just because you got sick once before that you won't get sick again. They don't have enough data yet to make that determination. And so I think that if you watch the movie Contagion, it was pretty accurate to where we're going to move to. They didn't have the smartphone apps like we do now, but what they had were bracelets of different colors with barcodes on them and it determined where in a city somebody could go or whether they were supposed to be out in the first place.
So do you think that this means that they're going to mandate smartphones?
Boy, they have done that in China and in South Korea. You, when you say mandate, do you mean it's mandatory that your positioning and status are available? Like you don't get to opt in?
No, it's mandatory that you own a smartphone.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a very interesting question. You know, Obama made it very easy to buy a smartphone even if you're a homeless person. They had special programs to get you a smartphone. Yeah. So I don't, it seems odd that, I mean, we're living in odd times, but we got a long ways to go before the government forces you to get a cell phone, I think. I think what they'll do is they'll do it in a very American way. They'll make it easy they'll make it easier to own a smartphone than to not own a smartphone. If you follow what I mean, maybe all of a sudden it'll be possible to get free smartphones anywhere. And as a bonus, you can keep track of your status on the grid. As you're traveling through the United States, you'll be able to find out if you're going into hotspots or not. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's only because this seems very, very imaginable. Just like the president has been trying to push this idea of opening early and states are getting to decide for themselves, the president can't just tell everybody to open their business. To answer your question about mandating smartphones, I don't think it would work that way. I think it would be more like the FCC is giving away a smartphone in $10 if you'd like it. The only requirement for the free phone and the $10 is that you're part of the tracking program.
Big Brother's watching.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Scott, you able to hear me?
Yep, perfectly.
Okay, so is it Google and Apple that have been working together to try and develop a procedure of some type to help with the tracking?
Yes. I mean, if I could just make that clearer, Google and Apple have created extensions to their platform so that third parties can create softwares to take advantage of it. Specifically, no, we're not down, Fred. Where are you? Fred's texting the group going, are we down? No, we're not down. We're here. We are here. Hey, if there's any question, if you can't get on a Skype call, you could always go over to the YouTube and check, because we should be going out on YouTube right now.
Going crazy.
I need to be able to turn off some of these sound effects since I'm recording at the same time. But back to the question, Pop. Apple and Google, since they own the two majority platforms, have no real interoperability in between the devices. And this proposal to use technology to determine where you are in relation to hotspots or people that you've come in contact with is directly dependent on the device. So the device has a key. It has an identifier that needs to remain private while still giving you that information. So you've got your device. Somebody else has their device. The reason Google and Apple are putting it together is because Apple's device uses a different platform than Google's, so it's important that they're working together. My device has a special hash that does not identify me, but identifies my status. It identifies where I am, identifies whether I'm infected or not, and it identifies what time you've come in contact with me, and that gets shared to this device. Is that right? Did I get that right? No. All that's true, except that is in both devices, which is assigned by the cloud. You come in contact with somebody, those two devices see each other, they both send their results to the cloud, and then they both get results back that affect whether they're, how their movements are, if I understand this correctly. And so Apple and Google are not creating that both send to the cloud and analyze. They're providing the two devices coming in contact with each other. The cloud and the app that's making the decision is considered to be a third party. In this case, it would be the health administrations of different countries. I guess it would be the FDA or be the Surgeon General, whoever that department is, the Corona Task Force. They would be building an application to make those things function using the tools created by Apple and Google. Mm-hmm. Now, what's really going to happen is Apple and Google are going to end up making these applications for the government because the government is not ready to build applications themselves. I don't even think they're ready to vet. This is my own personal opinion, but I don't think they're even ready to vet third-party applications. I think what they really are hoping for is that Google, Apple, or both will figure out a way to work together and build the apps themselves. But that's not what they've agreed to. It's also, I believe, very anti-capitalism to ask those two companies to work together to build the app that we're talking about. I don't think it's an anti-competitive issue to have them both provide the tools to do that same job. But doing the job, it would be inappropriate, in my opinion, it would be inappropriate in a capitalistic society for the government to tell those two companies they have to work together to do this. And that's the reason they've done it in this fashion. Does anybody have an opinion on this? This is all my opinion from things I've read and the way I speculate on technology. Does anybody have some insight that would help understand this? Have I lost everybody? I sure didn't mean to. I was trying to make it more simple. Simpler.
No, I think it was helpful the way you laid it out, Scott. Especially the real political issues that are involved when Google and Apple are asked to work together on something. They would have real legal and competitive concerns.
Yeah, I really feel like the Trump administration is in a very strange place because they want small government and they want pure capitalism, and that's what they've been pushing towards at the high levels with the millionaires. But then what would be more efficient would be the way it would be being able to mandate those two companies to work together against their own commercial interests to bring forth an app. They really are the ones that are in a position to make an effective app. I mean, if we were going to have an app that was going to keep track of us, did I lose everybody?
I'm here.
Somebody is.
I'm back again.
We're here.
Okay. Somebody has decided to share their screen.
That's Maggie. Am I not supposed to do that?
Hi, no. Maggie. Just that we're all seeing it now. Maggie, can you turn off your screen sharing?
Yes.
I'm so glad you're able to join us. You got in finally.
It's really slow, so be patient. I'm trying to turn it off.
Okay. No worries. In case anybody's interested, it's all working really good on my end. Well, Maggie, we were just talking about the apps or basically the hooks or the tools that the government has asked Apple and Google to work on. And both companies have stated that they're going to be coming out real quick, like sooner than they were thinking. They were saying mid-May, but I think they're ready just about now. And so what we really need is some innovative companies to use these tools to put together a tracking app. What is going on? Maggie, you are still sharing your screen, I think. And we're watching everything you're doing.
Yes, you can
see, I can't see you guys. I can't control it. I'm gonna have to see.
Cute cat.
Hey, that's a pretty cat.
Oh my goodness, you can see that?
Oh yeah.
Hang me up. I don't know how to get out of this.
Let me see if I can hang you up. I had kind of the same experience last week and finally just had to kill the whole thing and start again.
That's probably what I just tried to do that. Didn't work.
I see you in my list, but I don't see a way to hang you up. I can turn you off. Oh, there we go. Bye, Maggie. All right. That's the punishment for screen sharing without me. You're just going to be knocked off the call.
What's that? Linda Gerber? Or Linda?
That's very democratic of you, Scott.
Yeah. It's not something I've ever been accused of. Let's see.
This is very strange. I just got this notice on my screen. It went blue, and it said there's been a problem, and it went through like 15 seconds and then restarted the computer.
Oh, ooh, really?
I wonder what country that bit worked out in.
Yeah, Linda, that's Windows 10, right?
Yeah, I got a brand new computer.
Well, that explains it.
So...
Well,
seems to be okay.
you might check your drivers. You might check your updates, your Windows updates. But we are using hardcore right now. We are using audio drivers and video drivers. And if your computer were to throw up like Linda's just did, then you might want to make sure you've got the latest Windows updates. And I'm still sharing my screen. Let me take you on a journey to drivers, because sometimes your drivers have fallen behind as Windows is updated. So I'm at the, can you guys see my Windows bar at the bottom of the screen?
No.
I'm sharing the screen. You can't see the Windows bar? No.
No, you just lost your picture too.
Oh, hey. I'm not sharing the screen.
Let me see Linda.
Let me share the screen again. There we go. Now we're sharing the screen.
There. Okay, now.
Okay. So at the bottom of my screen, do you see the Windows bar?
Yeah.
Okay, so with the right mouse button, click on the window. The window button. And from this list, there's one here that says device manager.
Yeah.
You click on the device manager and it'll bring forward the list of all the hardware in your computer. It'll take a moment on my computer as I am recording and streaming to YouTube while carrying on this conversation. Linda, can you see this? So now, like I was saying before, we are intimately using video and audio drivers. So you may want to do this when you're not in the call, but go to each one of them. Here's my display adapters. I have two video cards in my laptop. This Intel card is built on the motherboard, and this NVIDIA card is an extra card that was put in there for performance for things like 3D work, CAD, or video games. Whichever, I do this periodically. Whenever I get Windows updates, I come into the device managers and I make sure that something hasn't not gotten updated. I double click on it. This brings up the properties of whatever I'm talking about. The second tab over is drivers. The second button down is update driver. Linda, are you following along with me?
Yep, I'm doing it on my other computer.
Okay. You hit update
driver.
And then search automatically for updated drivers. Now, I doubt I'm going to find one because I do this all the time and I haven't seen this driver new in a long time. But what I have experienced is I've experienced going through a Windows update and having problems, and my sound driver didn't update or my video driver didn't update. And it took me going through this process to force it to update.
Okay.
So when this process is done, it'll give you a message. It'll either be installing, and so this process becomes even longer, or it'll come back with a message saying you already have the latest driver. So what I would do is I'd first make sure I have the latest Windows drivers. Linda, especially with a brand new computer, I would just go do Windows updates, 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 every single update they have without fear because it's a brand new computer. And then I would do this process to make sure that the drivers got updated during that process.
Okay.
This is taking forever on my computer. I don't need it, so I'm going to cancel it now. But if I did need it, I would let it continue this green bar, this progression bar until the end. I was really hoping it would show me a message saying, you don't need this driver, but I bet it's fighting with my stream for bandwidth right now. Okay. Go away. So then I do that with video drivers, and I would do that with sound, video, game controllers. Down here, if you're looking at my screen still, you'll see I've got a couple of different sound drivers. Here's something that many people might not be thinking of. When you use an HDMI connection, it goes with its own sound system. So this, if you're still looking at my screen, this very first one listed under sound, Connect Smart Audio HD, that's my standard sound card. That's the one I can plug speakers into. This other one, this is the microphone on my webcam. This one that follows, this is what I was going to get at. This is Intel's HDMI sound driver. This is the sound that goes with the Intel chipset. If you were to plug an HDMI cable into your laptop or into your computer and plug it into a monitor. The one below that's NVIDIA. Same physical plug, different chipset. And then the last one here is the microphone I'm using. So right now I've got three microphones and three sound out sources. So to just sum this all up, I would check for drivers for every sound source you have.
Okay.
Another one you would do is your Ethernet and your Wi-Fi. I would just check for updates for those two as well. Because all of this stuff works great when it's working great, but one of them starts acting funny and it causes the whole experience to act funny.
Okay. When I first got the computer the other day, We did a bunch of updates, but there could be more on there now, and I haven't checked.
Well, and look for those patches, too. There's a couple of patches that they read okay. Like where you go. Well, I'm still sharing my screen, aren't I? Here, I'll show you.
I haven't seen your screen at all, Scott. It must be my computer.
Are you in... Are you in grid mode?
All I'm seeing is the little circles around the top with pictures in them.
Do you see me in one of those circles?
Yes.
Try dragging that circle down into the screen.
I thought I did, but now I don't.
I see your screen. If you've got Windows settings.
Yep, I'm on Windows settings. And if you go into updates and security and Windows updates, and it'll take a second to propagate this information, but right below the Windows update heading, it says you're up to date. Last checked yesterday at 11 p.m. Now, Linda, there are some updates that will show up right where this button is. It'll drop the button down below. And that's a big patch. It's a cumulative update, and it won't update unless you click on it. And what I just said is a lie, because eventually it's going to update without you clicking on it. But it's not going to happen anytime soon. It's going to wait until the last possible time to update. Maybe I shouldn't do a check update while I'm online, but I'm doing it anyway. I'll let that roll and I'll bring it back up on the screen. It's going to take a little bit to run. And does anybody else have any topics or questions? Anything we should share in our meeting this morning?
Yeah, I have some.
Okay.
I sent you that email about the USB 4.
You're talking about the one I had all good intentions of reading before club and forgot to.
Yeah.
Is that... So I didn't read the article. I'm familiar with USB 4. What did you get from the article, Linda?
Well, am I reading correct that they're going to combine Apple and USB and everything in Map 1 universal plugin?
Oh, I hope so. They've been talking about that. What Apple did, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but Apple has a standard called Thunderbolt. Thunderbolt Lightning. Thunderbolt was the chipset standard for speeds, and Lightning was the standard for the port. I probably got a Lightning cable here. Anybody that has an Apple device right now probably has an Apple connector. Can you guys, where is it? Can you guys see that?
No.
No, we can't.
Oh, I'm still, that would cause a problem, wouldn't it? Let me turn off screen sharing. Stop sharing. Okay.
There we go.
You see that? That's a Lightning cable. And I'm sure you guys, these are actually great. This is a great standard. I really wish the industry adopted this standard, but it's still proprietary to Apple. And it's reversible, and there's no pins to break. It's a rigid, kind of like a card. So I really think it's one of the best standards we've ever come up with. But because it was proprietary and we need an open standard for computers, they came up with USB-C. C is a great standard as well. It's kind of the inverse. It's a socket. But it is reversible, so you can flip it over and it'll work one way or the other. You can't plug it in wrong. That's what it comes down to. But the Thunderbolt data connection speed is amazing. It's faster than USB 3. And it has also been proprietary standard up until recently. And what's happened is Apple has removed the license from it, whatever that language is. Apple has made it available to be used for USB 4. So we will be able to take advantage of some really fast data rates. Thunderbolt allows devices to connect device to device, whereas USB up until now has been device to computer. USB has always required us to have an intelligent device. We have to have a device like a computer to connect a device like a microphone. But Thunderbolt lets us do stuff like connect a microphone to a hard drive with no computer in the middle. Probably a horrible example because I can't think of one where that's happening, but in practicality, that's what that means. That standard is bidirectional. And it's what we should be expecting for the new USB 4 standard. Linda, did you have any question or wanted to add more to what you'd read about that?
Well, it sort of doesn't spell out totally if they're combining the two and going to have one. And that's what it looked like to me, but I didn't quite understand the whole thing.
Well, for practical sakes, let's say yes, they're going to have one. And what's the meat of what's going on is when we've had it combined before, it was all open standards. Like when Apple used USB, I don't even remember. There was a time when they didn't use USB, and then they were the first to use USB. And it was an open standard, but nobody was using it in the PC world. And it took Apple using it in their world. Somebody's bleeding through. If you can mute your microphone. It took Apple using it. Sorry, I'm just getting some feedback on my end. It took Apple using and making it across their computers for the PC world to take it seriously. And so that's when it got added to Windows. Apple had a number of proprietary standards it continued to use. And when it put out the iPod, it needed a way to get information into it as quick as possible. And so it designed its own data transfer using a USB connector on one end and a proprietary connector on the other. And as that grew, I don't know if you remember back when the iPod first came out, they would talk about putting like 1,000 songs in it in 20 seconds, something like that. And it was because of data standards. It was because of our standards for recording audio, what we expected from recorded audio. And as recorded audio got to be a higher quality and data sources got to be bigger, we needed a faster transfer speed. USB went to USB 2 and then USB 3. But about the time USB 3 was starting to get anointed, they started using Intel's Thunderbolt standard. And they made a proprietary connector for it. And they made a proprietary protocol for it. Intel provided the standard for the silicon, for the chipset, the hardware. Apple provided the connector for the hardware and provided the language it would talk across it. So it's kind of, an analogy might be, Intel said, built a highway. So this is how a highway is supposed to be built. And all the cars are supposed to have four wheels. Apple built the sports car to go on that highway. Now, what's happening with USB 4 is Apple is saying, you should use this kind of sports car. Apple is saying, take all our sports car designs and put it into an open standard so everyone can build a sports car on this highway. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
In the end, it's all just mental masturbation, because all we're going to have is a plug that we're going to plug a device into, and it's going to be faster and more compatible than ever before. And that's what really matters to us.
Okay.
Any insights people would like to share on that?
No, but I have something else.
Go ahead, Fred.
The problem I see with it is this one can break it off inside of the puck. And Apple had what they call the MagSafe, and the MagSafe.
Fred, I'm afraid you're breaking up, coming in and out. Is anybody getting what Fred's saying?
No.
And all it works was a magnet holding it on. So if you sat there and somebody trip it in.
So. Well,
What I see is that this will break off in the plug.
Yeah, you're talking about the USB-C standard.
Right. Where Apple had really had a MagSafe too, which was held with a magnet. Somebody.
Well, I know you.
Over the plug, it would just connect. Without
breaking off in the port. Fred, I'm gonna take over on your thoughts, because I'm afraid you're breaking up as you're coming through. But what I think you're trying to demonstrate is with the Mac devices, they used to have a power, for the laptops, they had a power connector that was magnetized. And it would fasten by magnet to the side of the Macintosh computer. And if someone came walking through that area and popped off your power or hit your power cable, it would pop off without breaking anything. And they have given up that to go to the USB-C standard. There's a lot of advantages to the C standard for a power plug or for a data plug. But one of the things that you've given up is that magnetic power connector. Now, in Apple's defense, in the world of less evils, their laptops now have all-day batteries. I mean, they have batteries that last easily 8 hours out in the real world. And so there's probably a lot less opportunities for somebody to go walking through your work area and knock off your cable, as there was when you'd bring your Mac to a Starbucks and you'd be looking for an outlet to plug in. That same person's no longer looking for an outlet out in the wild. The advantages that USB-C bring to a device are well worth giving that up, I think, in my opinion. The beauty of USB-4 being based on their Thunderbolt technology is insane speeds. Being able to have, like right now in the PC world, we have at least 3 different video standards for connecting monitors. We have DisplayPort, we have HDMI, and we have VGA. We also have DVI, but I don't think it's actually ever caught up. I think it's easier to say that the default standards are VGA, HDMI, and DisplayPort. I'm sorry, did somebody want to add something? Somebody's having a bad microphone experience on their end. I think it might be Jim. If you can hear me, I can't hear you. Only technical issues are digressing my thought process and making me lose my train of thought. Please be patient. We're still on this train. I think it's Jim. And Jim, if you're listening, I'm going to mute your microphone because I think I can. There we go. Hey, when I mute Jim's microphone, is that just for me or is that for everybody?
I don't know. Is Jim talking?
If you can't hear him, I think he's not any longer.
I only see a chair.
That's my nice microphone up there.
Okay, well, what we will gain by using Apple's technology, Thunderbolt technology, is you can run video through it. So we've got DisplayPort technology right now. That allows us to run two monitors off of one laptop. Apple's technology lets us run two 4K monitors or four high definition monitors off of one connector. So that's an amazing, I mean, I don't know if that's something you want to do, but what that indicates is an amazing amount of throughput. That's a lot of data to be able to put through one connector. And the PC market has not been able to take advantage of that. This will allow them to take advantage. The reason they haven't taken advantage of it is because they got to pay a licensing fees to Apple. So when you have a USB-C connector on your laptop, you don't get to use what Apple people get to use on their laptop because they use a proprietary standard. PC makers could use it, but they'd have to pay licensing fees to Apple, so they don't use it. So Apple has finally just said, no, look, use it. Just, this is the new standard. This is what we're going to use. And now the whole industry will have it. It should be awesome. And we'll have a whole slew of products that don't work right while they're trying to sort it out.
That's something to look forward to.
Have we got other topics that we would like to bring up in this meeting?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Linda is our guest speaker for today. What else you got, Linda?
Well, hey, I got a letter from AT&T, and they claim that in 2022, everyone's going to have to get a new cell phone. So are they changing? Are they going to be changing the whole cell thing?
Wow, I haven't heard anything like that. I haven't seen any news like that. I'm just listening to myself in the background.
I have AT&T, and I have not received anything as far as emails, though. I wouldn't get anything by mail, but I've not gotten anything.
I haven't seen anything either.
Yeah.
For next week, I'll have to see if I can find a letter.
Yes, please do, because it seems like it would be marketing more than anything else. And the only thing I can think of is 5G. And there's some interesting 5G maps out there. If you look at them, you'd think that we've got 5G coverage all over the United States, but as you zoom in, you go to a place like Tucson, and yeah, Tucson has five places you can use 5G. I don't know if that's, don't hold me to the five places. That's just an example. It's probably not accurate, but on the 5G map, what I found was that even though it looked like there was 5G all over the United States, it was not abundant. So even in major metropolises, there were only a few points around the town where you could take advantage of 5G. 5G is the only thing I could think would spur getting a new phone. And they have to be backwards compatible, so it's not like it's not like the phone you have now would stop working because they've cranked on a bunch more 5G access. Ocala 5G tracking map. I think that's the one. It's done by the people that do the speedtest.net. I'm gonna put this on our website too, so you guys can see the 5G net map of the United States.
Oh, I've got it right here.
Oh, good.
This
says, hold on, I'm trying to bring it up. This says, get ready, 3G is going away in 2022.
Ah, there you go. Okay, so that's a whole different deal. They did this with 2G too. 2G disappeared. They don't want to support it.
Right. So they said you have to get a new phone.
You, if you have an old 3G phone, yes, you would have to. And that's what happened with the old 2G phones as well, is everyone had to go get a new phone.
Okay, so this says, talk and data services won't work for older wireless phones and devices that don't support at least 4G LTE and HD voice. If we send you a text message, it will tell you the lines on your account with phones that aren't supported.
Well, that all sounds actually very convenient as an AT&T customer. If you...
Sure.
Yeah, if you haven't updated your equipment in a long time, then this would be an easy way to find out which ones you have to update.
Right. So this says find out, and then it's got a blue thing, and you can click on find out if your phone will still work on our network.
Well, that all sounds very helpful if you're an AT&T customer, and valid too. There's no reason to continue to support 2G as we move forward.
So they're giving you the list for every company and all their phones.
Oh, that's what you end up with when you click on it?
Yeah. They've got Apple, iPhone 6 and newer. And then they go through all the rest of them. The LG, the Samsung.
Gotcha.
Maybe we'll just take a small moment.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 5G map created by Ookla right now. Oh, let me copy that. Copy. I'll stick it in the chat. I'll stick it on the website too if you guys want to check out the 5G map. But one of the things that I find most significant is as you zoom out, it says 1.5 thousand access points on the West Coast and 3.8 thousand on the East Coast. And then in the center of the United States, there's like 1,000 access points. So in between California and New York, there's less access points than there is in California or New York. So 5G is still not abundantly available anywhere unless you're whole life is spent in San Francisco or New York. I still don't think I would use 5G as any kind of purchasing decision when I went to go upgrade a phone. If I needed a new phone right now, I don't think 5G would play any part in my decision making. If I was ready to spend upwards of $400, I'd start looking for 5G. But I think even still at $400, I wouldn't be too concerned about it having 5G because it's not relevant to what we're doing. Not yet. And I'd probably feel differently if I was a tech worker in New York or in California. I might want the latest, greatest thing because I can take advantage of it. But I live in San Carlos, so I feel fortunate to get a signal. I'm going to look on my topic list and see what else we got here. Did you see that Facebook is trying to get into the telemarketing game or the teleconferencing game? Yeah, they've got some new program called Rooms. Has anybody played with it yet? I don't even know if it's available yet. But it's funny how this coronavirus has got us all using Zoom. All these other companies are scared that Zoom is now the vernacular. Zoom in 2020 is like asking for a Coke and being happy if you get Pepsi. Zoom is the new Kleenex. And all these companies are so worried about... We've got some background noise coming through. Hello, hello. Somebody's background noise is bleeding through.
Think I fixed it.
No, maybe you did. Is it gone? No, I'm still getting it.
Judy, turn off your microphone.
Is that Judy? Oh.
It might be. Mine's going off.
No, yours is fine. It's gone away. I think maybe it was the other Judy. The point I was making, the same way we talk about having a Coca-Cola, we talk about get me a Coke or I need some Kleenex. That's where we're at with Zoom right now. And it's making Microsoft crazy. It's making Google crazy. I'm sure Amazon is going to jump in with something. I heard they've actually got something that's in beta testing. And Facebook, it's making them crazy as well. And FaceTime with Apple. Apparently, Facebook Messenger and Apple FaceTime, these programs have never been tested to this kind of straining weight. They've never had 50 people try and have a conversation at the same time. They come from the paradigm of a telephone call to begin with and add video. Whereas Zoom starts out as a conferencing program. Like the whole intention is to bring together 50 to 100 people to talk. Anyway, these companies hate the idea that we say Zoom and we're on Skype. Or we say Zoom and we're on Hangouts. Say if we're on Skype, Microsoft wants you to say Skype. If we're on Hangouts, Google wants you to say Hangouts. Google's made it even more confusing recently because they did this knee-jerk reaction to how the market was doing this. And so now they've rebranded their Hangouts as Google Chat. And their teleconferencing, they've rebranded as Meet, Google Meet. Used to be Google Hangouts and Hangout Meet. Hangout Meet was teleconferencing like we're doing now, but you could only use it as part of G Suite, which is Google's equivalent to Microsoft's Office 365. Google has their own called G Suite, and Meet was part of that. And if you're paying for that, or you go to a school that uses that, or you belong to an organization that uses that, then you have Meet available for you. We've never used Meet. I was not even aware of Meet until the coronavirus situation. My kids knew Meet. They told me about Hangouts Meet because their school has used it. Now, Google has made Meet available to everybody. Microsoft has another product. We talked about it at the beginning of the hour called Teams. Teams is now available for everybody to use. I'll reiterate what I said at the beginning of our club. I don't think we'll ever use Teams because I've messed around with it for 2 weeks and there is nothing intuitive or easy about it. I will not subject normal people to having to use it. Anyway, Facebook has this one called Rooms. If anyone gets the chance to play with it, I would be interested in your experience. I've got a feeling, though, the same way we're not interested in trying Zoom, I'm not interested in trying Rooms. Facebook has been a real poor steward of privacy, and I don't think I'm going to jump into a Facebook app for teleconferencing. And it's not that I have or this group has anything private that we're concerned about sharing. I'm just have enough experience to recognize that where we go determines what platform gets pushed forward. I don't think that anything Facebook offers is going to be pushed forward with their track record with privacy. I think people use Facebook now for the general global conversation of their family and their friends, but they don't do it for any intimate conversations any longer. They don't trust it any longer for that kind of exchange. I could be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. Write me and tell me if I'm wrong, or write on my webpage saying that I'm wrong. But I've got a feeling that if you offered, like, Microsoft immediately added this Meet feature to Skype. As soon as people started saying Zoom, Microsoft's like, oh, geez, we've got to do something about that. And so they added the ability to have a meeting like this in Skype, and it's what's making it possible for us to do this. This feature used to only be available in Skype for Business, and then they put it in Skype for Consumer during the COVID-19 epidemic. I think that probably this feature in Skype may be more or less the same security problems as Facebook has for their teleconferencing software, the one called Rooms. However, I don't think the audience will go to it because of the poor track record they have. Nobody has any insights. I'm going to check that off my list. If you want more information about Rooms, check our website, where I'll put a link to this article I read. We are running out of time. I'd like to give everyone one last chance to bring up a question or topic that they would like to get into this meeting. Please feel free. Chime in. Going once. Going twice.
See you next week.
I think I see Irving trying to say something, but his microphone is off right now. There we go. Irving, go ahead.
I'm on. I was just joking. I said wait, but you can continue.
Oh, okay. Well,
see you
I
next week.
See ya, Judy. Yeah, I mean, I can keep going on. I've got, oh, hey, Judy, before you leave. Oh, she's gone. Damn it. Just lost her. I was going to ask her about her wireless calling. Is there anybody with AT&T from the United States?
Me.
Okay, are you doing wireless calling on your Wi-Fi?
So what do you mean by that?
Well, last week,
my phone only works on Wi-Fi in the house. It doesn't work on, I can't have it on AT&T in the house.
So whenever you're in your house, you have to use Wi-Fi for your calling, or turn off Wi-Fi calling, I imagine.
I can only use the house Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I can't use the phone.
So Linda, you and Judy need to talk, because she was having this strange experience where when she had Wi-Fi calling on, she could make calls only to Mexico and not to the United States. And for her to make calls to the United States on AT&T, she had to turn off Wi-Fi calling. Have you had an experience like that, Linda?
No, because whenever I'm in Mexico and I call the U.S., I use
your cell?
Oh, I only have my cell here. I don't have home phone service.
So you're using Skype
Magic
or
Jack.
Magic Jack?
I only use Magic Jack.
Okay. So you have not tried to call the United States using Wi-Fi calling with AT&T. And this is AT&T service from the States we're talking about.
Right. No, because I had a Mexican phone, but I gave it up. So now when I come down there, I'm going to try it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really curious, because she was very confident that placing local calls using Wi-Fi calling worked perfectly. but it, she could not get through to an American number on Wi-Fi calling. She had to turn off Wi-Fi calling and use her U.S. AT&T cell plan in Mexico to call a U.S. number. And so I'm just trying.
Was she using the plus one? Was she using the plus one? You still have to use the plus one.
I feel like we talked to her about dialing last week, but let's bring that up again, and I'll put that in my note. Because I'm just trying to narrow down this problem. If she's having it, I want to know if anybody else is having the problem.
Well, that's all I ever found when I came down there after I got the new services. You have to continue to use plus one or plus five, too.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we talked to her about that. And the plus 5-2 would indicate a Mexican call. And she said no problems with Mexican calls doing Wi-Fi calling.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm coming down next week, so maybe we'll see what happens with the phone.
Yeah, no, it'd be a great test to try. Was that Fred trying to get something?
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Yeah, are you going to Alaska?
I still don't know. To be honest with you guys, I've got resumes out. My folks and I, we've decided to close the bed and breakfast for this summer. It seems like the only realistic way to guarantee our customers are safe is for us to just not even be open. And so I'm in the process of canceling reservations and giving money back. And I'm looking for a steady source of income throughout the summer. And I wouldn't mind doing it in Alaska, and so I've sent out resumes to places in Alaska, but, you know, everybody's looking for a job right now, so I may end up here all summer.
Oh.
Because it doesn't make sense for me to go anywhere if there isn't work there. There's just as little work here as there is everywhere else at the moment in my world. So it all depend on if I can find something, whether I leave or not. And I think we've decided that the girls are going to stay here because we don't want to run the risk without a vaccination, without testing going on. Damn it, that's what we need. If anybody out there is listening, we need mass testing so we can all have confidence to go out in the real world. Without mass testing, there's no way to fix, no way to be confident. If our governments are listening, we all want mass testing. Anyway. If I could solve the world's problems, I probably wouldn't be doing a Saturday computer club with you guys. Though it's the highlight of my week. Well, does anybody else have anything they'd like to add? I see there's only about four of us, five of us left on here. We've reached the end of the hour, a little over, and I'd like to sign off. I just want to say...
Thank you, Scott. Thank you again.
Oh, thank you, Irving. I sure enjoy you guys showing up. Thank you, Bill.
Scott, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Yeah. Well, I've been fooling around with configurations trying to figure out which is the best video / audio. Anyway... This is the highlight of my week, too, if you really want to know.
Oh, thanks, Bill. That's awesome. Bill, you've been so available to help me figure this technology out. I just really appreciate you guys being on the other end and giving me sound levels and stuff. It's just been really helpful. And I feel like I got it dialed in because of your patience.
Well, where else are we going to be?
That's right. Don't leave. Don't go out.
Okay. Well, we have to once in a while. You know, we need groceries, sort of.
Hey, before...
The other high point, by the way, the other high point of our week is our weekly A&W drive-through window team burgers.
I saw you guys Facebooked that last week, didn't you?
Yeah. And we have at least once a week happy hour with Jim and Linda Cunningham.
Oh,
we get dressed up in our Hawaiian shirt, and we have drinks and put back a bottle of wine easily.
Hey, is that exclusive? Can I join you for that?
Yeah.
Well, are you using Skype for it?
I don't know. What do we use here? FaceTime is what we've been using.
Oh, Apple FaceTime. Well, unfortunately, I don't have an Apple. Oh, wait. No, I got some Macintoshes. Maybe I'll try and join you.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's lots of fun. You sit back and you tell old stories and drink wine.
Awesome.
Great idea.
Yeah.
I know there's been a lot of online happy hours going on.
Yeah, we have to be aware that we're fighting the quarantine 19 as well.
Right.
The 19 pounds.
The 19 pounds, that's right. I have a buddy I dialogue with almost daily, and he's like, this weight gain is becoming very obvious. I can't get my pants on anymore.
There you go. Well, when you wear pajamas all day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I told him. I've been with an elastic band since I got here, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's all working exactly for me. All right, guys, I'm signing off. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
I have one other high point of the day, and that's right after this. I'm going out to mow the grass, and we have 6 acres of ground here, of which about a third I mow. So first mowing of the year.
I was going to say 6 acres. You'll get done in time for next week's meeting.
Nope, used to do it in the day. But well, I decided, what the hell, this is silly. Why am I mowing 6 acres of ground? But I get to play farmer. I get on my little tractor and I run around it.
Well, that sounds like a nice diversion. I'm going to let you guys go. Irving, Mom, Cheryl, Bill.
Have a wonderful day. Good luck to everybody. Bye.
You too, Irving. Thanks for being here. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Bill, we'll talk soon again.
Yep. Anytime.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye, Mom. You guys have a good one.
You too. We need to talk soon, too.
We will. We'll have a conversation probably either today or tomorrow. The kids, the kids have Monday and Tuesday off as well, which it's a little difficult to tell the difference when, you know, it's there. They had Friday off because it was May Day. BB had a silly day for Thursday because it was kids day and she's still in primary. So she had a short class online. Neither of them had classes yesterday for May 1st because it was Labor Day everywhere but the United States. And then they're having an in-service day, which made me chuckle, on Monday and Tuesday. So they've got they're having a four-day weekend. Guess what they're doing? They're just going to hang out at home because we don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy.
So we will.
Are they going to have to make any of this up?
No, no. This is all part of the schedule. So whatever they're responsible for, they've been assigned. Now, we've been really fortunate. I would if we were parents of like 3 to 9 year olds, it would be a whole different story. But because they're 12 and 14 year olds, they're self directed. Their teachers are able to give them assignments and check on them. We really aren't involved any more than we were before when they would ask for help with homework.
Well, that's great if they're self-directed. Oh, my.
I'm going to let you go now so I can shut this down. So this is Scott saying, thank you for joining us. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions. And, of course, the San Carlos Computer Club. I am the guest speaker, producer, sound engineer, yada, 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 forever of these meetings. And I publish them as a podcast you can find in iTunes if you search Apple for or any of the podcast apps that you use. Search for the San Carlos Computer Club. and you can subscribe to the audio feed that we put out there. We do this as a live feed. There's live audio and video. You can find us on YouTube. An easy way to find our channel is to go to youtube.sccclub.org. Consequently, that's our blog site, sccclub.org. If you're looking for any of these videos, recordings, any news that I might be posting, you can find it at that address. And if we are an outsourced IT house that is actually specializing in remote access because of the coronavirus. We've been doing a lot of work getting into people's systems, networks, computers, their phones, all remotely. If you're looking for any help and you're anywhere on the internet, get a hold of me, Scott Stimson at internationalcs.net. That's Scott@internationalcs.net, and we will do our best to help you. You can pay us through PayPal or any number of other ways so that we don't have to touch cash, which is another way that this virus is being passed around. Until next week, this is always a joy. Can't wait to talk to you guys again. Until then, tech on. I'm off the call. Bye, Mom. Off the stream. Off the stream.